Hello and welcome. Today I am joined by Alan Rankin, who's a physiotherapist currently based in Scotland, albeit I know you travel around, Alan. So thank you for joining. How are you doing?
No problem. I'm good, thanks. And yourself?
Doing very well, thank you. Yeah, we're just talking. Like, it's for the fifth day in a row we've got amazing weather, so it genuinely makes me feel happier.
Yeah, exactly. The world looks a lot better when it's sunny, doesn't it?
No, it definitely does. How is it in Stirling today?
Yeah, it's good, thanks. Yeah, lovely. I mean, this is a really nice part of the country to drive into. So, yeah, the good thing, I'm doing a clinic for Stirling University, a multi-sport clinic for them. And the nice thing, you literally sit at the bottom of the Wallace Monument. When you were driving, you're literally at the bottom of it. And then when you look out, some of the football pitches actually look out onto the Stirling Castle as well. So, yeah, it's lovely. I always think if you're covering a match and your team's getting beat, at least you've got a nice view to look at. I think I would definitely wonder if I was covering a match and we're losing 2 or 3-0, you'd think, okay, at least the scenery is nice. There's some football stadiums I've wanted to look away, but you're just like, oh, you've got 4 stands.
No, it is true. Yeah, so I've stayed on the Stirling campus when I've been doing my visits in Scotland, and it was great. I actually remember I was watching, it was when Leicester won the league, and it was around December or January time, and I was like, there's no chance Leicester are going to win this. They're doing great. But it's like, that centre there, it's a really nice setup, isn't it? The whole university.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really nice. I mean, it's pretty much, I mean, the swimming programmes that are dueling the crown, you've got Duncan Scott trains here, who's one of the GB guys, quite a few of the swimmers. So that's their dueling the crown. But the other sports, I mean, the big golf programme, tennis, obviously, because you're in the right area for Andy Murray. Their football team's done really well. Their men's football team, women's football team, playing the second tier of women's football. So, yeah, triathlon's big. So, yeah, it's a good sport. It's a good good university for sports. And I'll pretty much look after the non-institute-supported students that have got scholars. And what they did was they found a little problem because the Scottish Institute-funded athletes got physio no problem. But then they had a problem getting the physio for their sort of tier just below the institute or the foreign students that are Olympians. So the uni pays me to come on site and treat the students. So they get it for free, which is good. We've got a full-time S&C coach. They're quite heavy in sports psychology here. So it's a really good setup, actually. Really good. So it's on the kind of level. I mean, Loughborough Uni would be their big rivals. So that would be the equivalent. We're slightly at risk of getting shot here by the powers that be. I would say we're slightly smaller in terms of size of campus than Loughborough, but Loughborough has got quite nice facilities. But we're definitely up there. Nottingham's doing quite well as well. Nottingham University. So yeah, it's good fun.
It's definitely it's a really nice setup. So where are you from originally then?
Well, Glasgow. Yeah, so I'm born and bred in Glasgow, and so the good thing is I've moved back up there. We moved back up 20 odd years ago. So I'm about 20, I think you're 20 minutes from everywhere in Glasgow. So I think if I'm being really honest, I'm half an hour to here. So it's good. Yeah, so based in Glasgow, my wife and myself run a private practice in Glasgow. And we're very much, I like my work in sport, but we're very much a normal, just straight down to earth physio clinic. Patients in, patients out. Bit of manual therapy, bit of electrotherapy, exercises, prevention, standard stuff. I always think physio is not rocket science. It's really not rocket science at all. Keep it simple, keep it straightforward, and you'll be okay. Busy physio clinic. And then I do lots of other sports. I work in other sports as well. I probably straddle about 9 sports at the moment.
Right. So, oh, good. Yeah, we'll look forward to getting into unpicking some of that stuff in a bit. But how did you start in the area then? What made you get into physio rehabilitation?
It was one of those ones. I could take you right back. I say to patients, I could virtually tell you when I wanted to be a physio. And it was probably about 15, 16. And I think it was that realisation that I wasn't going to be a professional footballer. I was all right, but not, I mean, quite topical. Dougie Friedman, who's been touted to be Man U's next head of recruitment. Dougie played in the same boys' club as me. So that was Alan Johnston, who was at Hearts and Sunderland and Rangers. You know, that was my contemporaries. And it was funny because the attitude then was just give them the ball and you'll win the game. We thought, yes. So I've got loads of medals. My son thinks I'm some sort of football legend because I've got loads of medals at under-12s and under-13s. But I said there's a difference between being a good player and playing in a good team. I unfortunately played in a good team. So that was my contemporaries. And he just thought I was all right, but they were on a trajectory that even at 14, 15, these guys were, you know what it's like. These guys were going somewhere at that age. And you kind of self-evaluate yourself and you kind of go, I just don't think it's happening. So I wanted to stay involved in sport, as most, I would hope most boys and girls at 15, 16 who play sport would want to do in their future life, you know, stay involved in it. So sports journalism was a kind of obvious one. My friend's dad was one of the chief sports writers for the Daily Mail, but then realised that was quite poor at English, so that kind of kiboshed that. So, and I'd always kind of been fascinated when I'm a Rangers fan, so you went to Ibrox and you see the physio running on the pitch. I was always quite fascinated by that, kind of weirdo, more interested in the physio running on with a little bag and the sponge. So for some reason, it just captivated me. And I remember one day in, I think it was history, my history teacher was a guidance teacher, and he asked for a volunteer, maybe me, put my hand up and said, oh, I'll do it. So he literally threw me a prospectus. I mean, you couldn't get away with it these days. And said, well, great. I was supposed to do a report on that before the weekend. You're now going to do the report on that before the weekend. You think, oh. So it kind of sat in my bag, my school bag. And then on the Sunday night, I thought, better do that blooming report for my teacher for Monday. And it was for Queen's College, which is now Caledonia Uni at Glasgow. And I'm flicking through it, and physio just went like that and just hit me between the eyes. So my dad said, what do you think? And I said, I really like the idea of that. And my dad, being my dad, said, well, that's the end game. How are we going to, let's work back now from that. He's a retired school teacher, so quite methodical. Let's work back the way. So it just so happened I was doing all the sciences. I was on the right track for that. So all it needed was a bit of tinkering in terms of a bit of volunteering and going doing work experience, and the seeds were born then. So it was at that point then I thought, yeah, that's definitely what I want to do. Rightly or wrongly, that's what I want to do. Because I do kind of look jealously at people who can swap professions, can dot from one to another. Loads of my patients do that, but I mean, I just want to be a physio, and I still want to be a physio.
That's good, isn't it?
I'd still quite like to be a physio. I think most physios my age, I'm 50 now. I was hoping most physios, when they reflect back from my era, kind of still have a little bit of, you know, you still think you could do better and you still think there's so much more to do. So, yeah. Yeah, it's good fun. I do enjoy it, though. I picked the right profession. Definitely picked it. And I'm quite good for school kids and students to speak to, because I'm very enthusiastic about it. I think it's the best job in the world. I really do.
Yeah, so, well, that's great, though. I mean, I think it's also, if you're constantly looking to be better, that's what makes you be better and good and always want to improve. If you're not wanting to do that, it's a shame, really, isn't it? Because you're obviously not as enthusiastic.
But also, my attitude to that is, I say to young physios, just say yes to everything. Just see if somebody asks you to do something, see if there's a trip going, or Man U or Man City or Lancashire Cricket, I'm trying to make it regional for you, come in and ask you to do stuff, say yes. You're young. Go and try it and just go and get your hands dirty and go and cover a trip or cover a training session. Just go and do it, basically.
And so, like, when you decided, do I want to be a physio, did you know what that was going to be, what you wanted that role to be?
Well, I think it was one of those ones. It's funny, I kind of thought you would say this when I was driving in this morning, so I had my kind of mulling over my answers, and it was one of those ones. I went in wanting to work in sport. I mean, pretty much, I wanted to be the physio at Ibrox or at Wembley run onto the pitch with the sponge and the bucket of water, basically. And that's really what I wanted to do. I wanted to work in football and play more football than sport, because I'm from Glasgow. You know, I'm a product. I was born in the 70s. You grew up in Glasgow. Kind of football was the main sport, really. So I grew up wanting to be a football physio when I started uni. Once you get to uni, of course, you realise there's a whole physiotherapy profession is more than just sport. So you do, you kind of think, oh, there's other things you can do. And I encourage students now to try and do a bit of NHS and broaden your experience and try not to be pigeonholed into sport. But I came out of uni still wanting to work in sport. So I went in wanting to work in sport, realised there's a whole bigger profession, but I still came out really wanting to do sport, or at least MSK. But I kind of thought I would have a crack at sport. I knew I would do, just from a previous background.
And so what was the pathway? So you university, doing your placements and so on, like what was your...
Straightforward. And it's one of those ones that you kind of hankered. So just went in and did your training. And those were the days where we were quite kind of manual therapy trained, which I still use today. Out on placements, get your experience. And it's just funny how sort of life throws little curveballs at you. I could tell you again the exact moment where my football career took off. And this sums up football, play in the 90s. So me and my now wife, we were students together, we were just friends, we weren't seeing each other at uni. We were sitting, I could take you right back, we were sitting in the students' room at Glasgow Royal Infirmary. I think we were having lunch, something like that. And Jim Fallon, who became sort of head of the sports injuries clinic at Hampden. So Jim had been a footballer. He was sort of number two at the Royal Infirmary, physio. Jim had been a player and then coached, went into management, was still one of the SFA coaches, but he's a physio. And Jim's quite, he's kind of old school, kind of these old school guys who I really liked, Jim. He just kind of walked into the students' room, quite kind of, you know, kind of gruff is the word that I would use, and said, Alan, again, you couldn't get away with it these days. Alan, do you or any of your male colleagues want to work in football? I mean, can you imagine that now? Dear, oh dear. Right. And I went, oh yeah. I was terrified. Oh yeah, I do, Jim. And he kind of wrote on a bit of paper the number for Clyde Bank Football Club, who at that time were a Scottish champ, so tier two. But Clyde Bank were the team that they kind of bounced Premier League, Scottish Championship. They went out of business. They're now a junior team, like a non-league team. But that time they were decent. It was a decent setup. He said, they've got a game tomorrow night against Rangers, Reserve League West. They need a physio. So I said, I'd put your name down for it. And walked out. And at that time, there was no real mobile phones, Andy, then. So I, you know, on the landline, phoned the club secretary. Oh, how you doing? Yeah, Jim said he might have a Sunday that can help us out. How are you fixed for tomorrow night? So I went, yeah, great. So I left placement at 4:30, 5:00, jumped to the train, turned up at the stadium, didn't know anyone, just literally rocked up. There was a kit man and his wife. So the kit man, Paddy and Mary, two Irish, wee old Irish couple, they ran the club basically. So Paddy cut the grass, washed the strips, was a kit man. Mary made the tea and did the cleaning. So you can just visualise it, can't you? So I rocked up and met them. And they said, oh yeah, I'll introduce you to the reserve manager. So Tony Gervais, who I think became Arsenal women's manager. Tony came out, said, oh, how you doing, Alan? Yeah, Jim said you were coming along. That's fine. There's your kit. There's the run-on bag. Physio normally does the warm-up. So half an hour, do the warm-up. I went, what? Can't swear, but normally I would swear at this point. I said, all right. So honestly, I just had to black it. I literally blacked it. Look confident. That's been my mantra ever since. So you can, all right, boys, do a few runs. We're playing Rangers reserves. Walter Smith's in the stand. They're looking magnificent, as they would, right? I just blagged it, literally just blagged it. And then We lost 2-0. One of the boys twisted his ankle. I can vividly remember it, my first ever game at senior level. And after the game, Tony said, oh, thanks for helping us out. See you next week. I was like, what do you mean? He said, well, you're now the reserve team physio. I thought, oh, brilliant. So I was a final year student working at Clyde Bank, and I would go, they paid me to cover their matches, the reserve matches, and it was classic. It was proper old school, a little brown envelope. It was probably tiny, it was about that size, with a little cheque in it for like 25 quid. And that's decent money. That's probably decent money now. 25 quid a game. Brilliant. And what I did was I used to go in, so they trained twice a week, two nights a week, and had their first team and reserve matches. So I would go in and help the first team physio out a couple of nights a week, not getting paid, just go in and help out, and then cover the reserve matches. Brilliant. So it was good fun. Brilliant fun. So, I mean, that was the era. I mean, David Cooper, one of my heroes, that was he was at Clyde Bank the year he passed away. I mean, David Cooper had a brain aneurysm when he was 40, but he was playing for Clyde Bank at the time, so it was probably around about March time. So, yeah, so decent level of football to start with, but good fun. Good fun, especially when you're a student, you know.
So what made
it all started.
But what do you think made Jim say to you, like ask you that question?
I think it was pretty one of those ones that they needed somebody. They needed somebody, and they went, well, we've got a male physio student. We'll get him involved. Bear in mind, this is the 90s. This is 1994. So I think it was one of those ones. Jim just saw one of the blokes and just went, we'll get one of the boys involved. Again, scandalous, but good fun though.
Yeah, definitely. So then, how long were you at Clyde Bank for then?
Well, I did the sort of that whole season and quite happy. And I thought, well, do you know what? I'll qualify in the summer and I'll be great. Just do a few seasons at Clyde Bank. And he's okay. And it might go somewhere, it might not. And then that summer, again, you always remember specific things. I'd finished my final exam, and being a student, you were still in your bed at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning. And my son's a student, and he's mimicking exactly this. He's a lot brighter than me, thankfully. He's doing law, thank goodness. And I forget, my dad came into my bedroom and said, Alan, there's a phone call for you. It was about 9 o'clock in the morning. And for a student, that's scandalous, getting a phone call at 9. He said, it's Grant Downey, the head physio Rangers. And that wakens you up quickly. I was like, oh, okay. So I kind of very nervously, if I speak to Grant even now, I'm still nervous speaking to him, right? So, and you know Grant very well, of course. So I can imagine I was petrified to speak to head physio Rangers when you're a student. And Grant basically said, look, we've had a bit of a nightmare. We've got something like, reserves and youth team had something like 11 games to play in a week to fulfil fixtures before the end of the season. And they were having a nightmare, so it was Grant and Gordon. Allison was the first team physio. He said, can you help us out? Jim Fallon's given us your number. So it's funny how people have an influence on your career. I mean, I still say to Jim, even when I meet him now, I'm not sure if I should thank you or be angry at you for getting me involved in sport. But and then, so I basically rocked up it. So Grant said, can you come in and speak to us? So when? Like today, of course. So I put a suit on, as you do. Those were the days. Put a suit on, went to Ibrox. And Grant basically said, look, can you help us out next week? I said, well, I'm off. So I can do, say yes to everything, Andy. So I can pretty much do whatever you want. So I did a few games for Rangers at the end of that season. I was with Clyde Bank. And then Grant thanked me for it, perfect. And Grant said, well, keep in touch, and when you're registered, just let us know. So I thought, perfect. And then it was Grant then phoned me and said, look, just to let you know, a reserve team physio's actually left. So how do you fancy just covering reserves and youth games for us? And those were the days when they used to play them at night. So I then got a job in the NHS for a year, still a local NHS hospital, and did Rangers reserve and youth games at night. So you'd work till 5 and you just drive to, jump in your car, drive to wherever, cover the game, go home, sleep, up, work, cover the game, you know, that kind of thing. And then at the end of that year, Grant had got funding to get another full-time physio at the club. So that gave them three physios full-time, which you're talking 95, 96. That's a decent number for that time, especially in Scotland. We probably had the most full-time physios. I mean, nowadays, I mean, youth academies have more than that, you know, at Premier League football clubs. But at the time, that was quite forward-thinking. So I kind of, Grant offered me the job, and I'll never forget one thing Grant said to me was, I don't want an answer today. So I was like, yeah. He said, go away and think about it. I'm like, Grant, I don't need to think about it. Go away and think about it. Let me know tomorrow morning. And there was some slight cons. The cons were, you know, I'm quite inexperienced. I'm only years qualified to go full-time at a football club, especially Rangers then. You know, they were real big hitters. They still are, but they were real big hitters then. Then I thought, well, I'm in a department with Grant Downey, who's Grant Downey, Gordon Arson, who was so experienced as their first-team physio. I was pretty much the junior member of staff, and thought, well, we'll still have in-service training. We'll still get doctors. So if you were on your own, it'd be a bit different, but you were shielded. So the answer was yes the next day. I thought, I'll give Grant some credit. I'll wait till the next morning, you know, and then say yes. So and then that was me full-time in sport. And Grant said to me, you have to ask yourself, where do you want to be in 5 years' time? And I said, in your seat. And he went, well, I'm giving you a chance to do it now. So, and that was a brilliant phrase that Grant gave me. You know, you could wait and wait and wait, but sometimes you have to accelerate that process. Again, say yes to everything and just muddle your way through it, isn't it?
Definitely,
So Richard Branson says, isn't it? Richard Branson says that. Say yes to everything and work out how you're going to do it. And that's my mantra, basically. I use that with a lot of things now. It's working out how you're going to do something once you've said yes.
No, I think it's a good philosophy. Like you mentioned there as well, like for Rangers then were massive. Like I'm an Everton fan. I remember vividly Duncan Ferguson, Ian Durant coming down to us. But Rangers were one of the biggest clubs in Europe then, weren't they? Massive budgets. It really was like you'd had like Gazza and.
Yeah, that was the era. Yeah, that was the era. That was the era of Gascoigne and McCoist and Loudrup and all those players. And it was good fun. I mean, I must admit, it was good fun. That was probably that last group of players, of footballers. By that era was your last group of footballers that could still have a bit of a laugh, if you know what I mean. It was the days before social media and the days before. People had cameras on their phones. So the boys could still have a bit of a laugh. It was very much play hard, you know, train hard. It was very much that. And they were a good bunch, great level. I mean, so I went in pretty much, I mean, I still suffer a little bit from imposter syndrome. I think it comes from just that kind of blagging your way into, I blagged my way into physio. I was a point short in terms of entry qualifications. And basically, me and my dad went and spoke to the head of department at Caledonia at Queen's College and basically put my case forward, and then within 2 weeks had a letter of acceptance. She also saw something in this young 16-year-old. So I think with that, you kind of a little bit of imposter syndrome follows you all over the place. So the Rangers was brilliant. It was good fun. It was a good experience for me, because it's funny, I was reflecting back in this the other night. But I talked to my wife about it, because at the time it was school of hard knocks. It really was. And, you know, Grant was tough. He was a tough boss to have. Very experienced, great knowledge, but demanded high standards. I sometimes didn't meet them, which I'll happily admit. I'll never forget, there was one day we were both working a Sunday. I was 21, 22 years old, so I'd been out on the Randan the night before. And I think it was probably still smelling of booze, as was three quarters of the players, by the way. But they get away with it. And I'll never forget, Grant didn't speak to me the whole day. And that was horrible. Just even you know when somebody's not happy with you but isn't saying. And I never made that mistake again. I thought, nah, that's not happening again. I am not turning up worse for wear at Rangers. The players are, but the medics can't. So I never made that. He didn't have to tell me, but I never made that mistake again. So yes, it was good. It was a good experience. It was a good, massive learning curve. I mean, pretty much, I would hope any physio working in sport will say the same thing. Your first year, particularly working in football, it's pretty much knowing who to speak to, who not to speak to, knowing how to act, how not to act. You know, don't bog the manager down with too much stuff when he's got or she's got 101 other things to think about. So it was a good learn. It was a really good learning experience. And I was reflecting with my wife 2 or 3 weeks ago, and she said that. She said, you know, at the time, we probably didn't appreciate Grant just what he actually did for you. At the time, we're thinking, blimey, this is tough. But actually, when you reflect back, he was brilliant. He was really good because he really built you as a person. He really did. So, yeah, good experience. I think sometimes there's nothing wrong with it. It's got hard knocks.
What do you think you did learn from that tough approach then?
Well, very much that you just have to, a good work ethic, a really, really good work ethic. Always have good standards, be prepared for things. And it was all that, was the politics of things. I learned about the politics of sport very quickly at Rangers, very quickly. You know, guarded against the media, you know, keep everything in-house. That was very much Rangers' thing at that time. And the medical department was very into that. We were very close-knit. Watch who you speak to. That very confidentiality drove everything. So probably that, just kind of get on with it, work hard, get your head down. But that was the kind of Rangers philosophy at that time anyway. Was kind of, you know, that kind of, hate to say bulldog spirit, that sounds a terrible phrase, but it's pretty much that. Just get on with it and just, you know, your shoes must be shiny. Yeah, a wee bit like that. There was that kind of almost military side to it, which I'm not against. And I think sometimes football gets knocked quite unfairly. There's a bit of snobbery about football from other sports, but I think football does some things right. And I quite like the conforming nature of football. I quite like that. Quite like that everyone dresses the same and everyone has to kind of toe the line a little bit. I actually quite like that. People are different. I quite like it.
Yeah. So how long were you at Rangers for?
Well, I did. So 3 years in total, a year part-time, 2 years full-time. And then it's like anything else. I think I was kind of getting, I always hankered for English football. You know, you cast the envious eyes down at English football. It's such an exciting, especially then, sort of late 90s. I mean, you were really getting into a really good era. I mean, this was now, I mean, your class of 92 and, you know, that kind of thing. Man U with the big hitters, Man U and Arsenal. And I always hankered for a job in English football. And to be fair to Grant, he always encouraged somebody to be ambitious. He still does. Grant still does that. And he was not pushing me out the door. Sometimes you think, maybe you gave me too good a reference there, Grant. But Grant was good. He was kind of, because Grant had come up from Lillishall. He knew the English football scene. And we had a lot of about heart to heart. And I kind of expressed an interest. I said, I'd quite like to give it a go. I was young and single. Well, I was seeing my wife at the time, but a young couple. And she was quite happy to do the same. So again, this is proper old school. So the way I did it, I approached every single football club in the Premier League and the Championship. And the way I did it, I sat down with the Rothmans football book. Now, some of your old listeners like Derek Wright and people like that will know about this. The Rothmans football book was a Bible. It had every club directory in it, every who the secretary was, who the manager, who the physio was. Now you just do it online. And I wrote a letter and sent a CV to every club secretary and head physio. And the reason why I wrote to the club secretary is I thought, what if the physio's left? I don't want to. So we duplicated it and put them all in A4 envelopes. I mean, so you just email people now. But literally, I must have sent about 50 CVs. In fact, double it. You're talking about 40 clubs, 20 and 20. Yeah. So you probably talk about, you know, sort of 80-odd CVs around the place and got quite a good response. And I think at that time, working at Rangers, you almost came pre-approved slightly. Everyone assumed you were decent. You were a good physio. It's a bit like if a Man City physio was to email me just now, you assume they're good, or a Man U, you assume they're good because they're working at a good club, Arsenal, that type of thing. So I get quite a good response back. And then Hope Vale were the first club to really approach me. Rick Carter, you know Rick Carter. So Rick actually phoned me. He said, look, there's a job going on. It's my job because I'm leaving to push my private practice more. I've showed your CV to the manager it was John Rudge at the time, who really would quite like to speak to you. So I just kind of thought, perfect. So I rocked up to Stoke and pulled into Bursdom. And actually, the stadium was decent. I thought, what's this going to be like? You come from Rangers. And Roger was brilliant. I'll never forget that I nipped in to use the toilet before the interview, and he's in the bombing cubicle with Sain, isn't he? It's like proper old school. It's just ridiculous. You can't imagine Guardiola being in the cubicle of a physio who's about to be interviewed. You see, when you think back, it's so ridiculous. Those were the 90s. And then went and spoke to him, and great. And I was driving back up the road. I was speaking to Burnley the day after. So I thought, if I go down to Stoke, speak to them, on the way back up to Glasgow the next day, I'll drop in at Burnley, speak to them, and then we'll see what happens. But Rudgy pretty much phoned me as I was pulling into Turf Moor and said, we'll offer you the job. So I thanked him for it. I said I'd sleep on it. Spoke to Burnley anyway. But realistically, at that time, Port Vale were English Championship then. Perennial relegation candidates, but in essence had survived for about 3 or 4 years in the Championship. And actually, I quite liked them, and I liked the stadium, and Rudgy was brilliant, and the staff at the reception were really nice, and it seemed quite a nice club. So I spoke to Burnley, and then phoned Burnley the next day and said, look, you know, before we make any decision on me, I've been asked by Port Vale to go there. So I think they were speaking to 2 or 3 people. And I said, I don't want to mess you around. Port Vale have come in. And they thanked me for being honest. And that was me, down to Port Vale, English Championship. And it was a good one for me because you could cut your teeth. That was my first team physio, you know, head of department. I was on board initially with a few part-time physios doing their centre of excellence at the time. And then we had a part-time doctor, part-time chiropodist, come podiatrist. We managed to get funding for another physio. So we appointed Matt Conroy. Again, you'll know Matt very well. Matt was brilliant, as he is. So Matt came in, it was the two of us, and we had a couple of seasons at Port Vale. We stayed up the first year. I did the first team. Matt did the reserves and youths, his first job in football, perfect. And then we got relegated to the second season. And again, those were the days where my feet were getting itchy again. You're that age, aren't you? Where you're kind of playing the field a little bit and the opportunity arose to go down to Charlton. Andy Jones was head physio at Charlton. And we played Charlton. My second season at Port Vale. And we went down to the Valley. Brian Horton was our manager at this point at Port Vale. Brian was brilliant. I loved Brian. I loved Rudgy, but Brian was brilliant. I mean, he wouldn't stab you in the back, he'd stab you in the front, which was quite good. You know, I loved Brian. But Brian wasn't well, so the assistant manager took the game. Charlton were fine. They'd been relegated. But they were top dogs in the Championship. I mean, they pretty much kept a Premier League team. So you're talking about 1999 at that point. So we went down to the Valley. The Valley was bouncing. It was a full house. And we got battered, absolutely battered. We were losing 2-0 at half-time. And we've come in, and our assistant manager said, look, I don't know what to say, guys. You've actually played pretty well. They were out of this world. Try and get a goal back. Your usual football manager talk. Try and get a goal back. You never know what might happen. And you know, you go to a game and you can see the other team, the home team, are starting to get a little bit of abuse from the fans. And so we nicked a goal back, and then we scored right on the death to draw 2-2. Charlton get booed off. We've walked up the track because it's the corner flag at the Valley, not wanting to look at any fans. And you're in the dugout. We're walking up thinking, oh my God, you know, Dick Turpin couldn't have done a a more daylight robbery than this. So it was a case of get out as quickly as possible. So I went down to Charlton. I'd always fancied working at Charlton. So got out, got down, and had 4 great years there. They were back in the Premier League, really good department. And yeah, Brian, really enjoyed it. Early 2000s. And then my son was born in London. So we packed our bags and went back up north. And then we've been here ever since. So it's been a good journey. Football's been a good journey now. And then I'd pretty much worked in football my whole life. And then Commonwealth Games came along in Glasgow, 2014. And I was lead physio at hockey. And that's when I suddenly went, oh, there's other sports in this world apart from football. So now I just collected sports. So I've kind of went the full, circle with things.
Yeah. So what which sports are you involved in now then?
So now I'm pretty much ingrained in gymnastics, which the irony about that is incredible because I can't touch my toes or do a forward roll, but that's not why I'm there. So I do a ton of work with British gymnastics, and it's pretty much covering events, go with squads, covering training at Lillisol. We're going out to Portugal in April for European Championships. I'm still involved with the SFA, so we'll cover some of the squads with them. I did the 21s for the SFA, and up to recently I was doing the girls' 19s, and now I'm just sort of floating. A little bit more with Scottish rugby. And I've got involved with British cycling, so I'm now doing quite a bit with British cycling. I've been working with their para team this year, covering events for them, and at Manchester. A little bit of wheelchair basketball, and then do a little bit with athletics, British skeleton, and British hockey. So quite a lot of sports, as well as my own clinic, and as well doing a clinic at Stirling Uni. So I keep myself busy.
Which, so how does it compare, stuff. Like from working in football to working in the multi-sport area?
I quite like the idea of doing multi-sports. And again, I'd say to young physios, if you can, try and work in other sports as well as just football. Just different. Football's still my go-to. It's still my first love, football. And it's still the sport that I feel comfortable working in. But other sports are different. They're different, but they're similar. You know, show up on time. Be like a golf caddy if you're a physio. Get up, show up and shut up. Pretty much got on with it. Know who to speak to. Create a nice environment. That's the biggest thing I can say for any physio working in any sport, be it football, rugby, gymnastics. Just create a nice environment for the athletes. Create a caring environment. Look after them. Try and be honest. Don't give the coaches surprises. Be part of the team. I know it sounds really cliched, and you'll have heard this with all the other guys you've been interviewing, but just try and be part of the team. Just fit in. Be honest. Be good at what you do, but just be honest. Be honest with folk, and you can't cure. We're not curing cancer, physios. We're not curing cancer, so don't promise the earth to athletes, but just try your hardest with them to get them better and give them a nice environment to operate in. And that's basically what you want to do in any sport, Andy.
Yeah, maybe in life. I think it's good to be honest. And
it's a life lesson. It's a life lesson. It's pretty much just got on with it. Just try and be decent to folk. We're no different to anyone else. Just say you're not curing cancer as a physio.
Yeah. So that, just to go back to that time at Rangers then, because I am fascinated by it. I know like you're a fan anyway. So like, are there any particular things that spring to mind? I think I went to watch Rangers. I think we played a friendly at Everton, and Brian Laudrup, I think, is one of the best players I've ever seen live.
Yeah, it's outstanding. I mean, that was probably, I think that was a pre-season friendly, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
And that was the 97-98 season. I can vaguely remember that. Oh, yeah, it was good fun. I mean, pretty much, we were full-time, so it was pretty much all hands on deck. So even though I was solely tasked with covering reserves and youths, you were still treating people like Gaza and McCoist and stuff like that, you know. So, I mean, pretty much all the stories you hear, particularly Ali. Ali's good at telling stories. He's a very good raconteur, if you can imagine. And all the stories you hear him talking about Gaza and stuff are actually true. What I quite like about footballers, particularly of that era, is they don't need to lie. They don't need to embellish their stories. They don't need to. And it's not difficult to get a story out of these guys. They'll tell you, believe me. So it was good fun. My worry slightly now is that kind of fun parts went out of it a little bit. It had to change. It had to. You know, we couldn't go on like that. The more the money came into it, it had to change. But I think if you ask people like, I mean, you're standing on the shoulders of greats, of giants, when you speak about people like Derek Wright. And I mean, all my contemporaries were Derek Grant, Mark Leather, you know, Dave Galley, Steve Floss. These guys were all my contemporaries. And I used to cast envious eyes at them because Dave Fever, because they were just that generation before me even. And I just think, imagine the laughs they would have had, especially Big Derek at Newcastle. I mean, can you imagine? So I'm quite fortunate. I worked in an era where I was probably on that cusp, that slight cusp of coming out of the kind of old school into a little bit more modern. There's probably been another generation of physio that's followed me, has been in that other cusp that's kind of went even more high level. But yeah, Rangers at that time was very much that cusp. They were on that,
yeah.
It was changing slightly. And yeah, like I say, I heard Alan McCoy's talking recently that he was thankfully playing an era where there was no social media. And you're like, yeah, I'll bet. You're like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. But it's like, I mean, Mark Leather, I know Mark very well. And actually, you mentioned Dougie Friedman. So I played football for Mark Leather's team. So he was coaching and I played for his son's team. And when he went back into Bolton, Dougie Friedman was the manager and he pulled Mark back in. So I was marking Dougie Friedman at the Bolton training ground. He liked to put his foot in.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, not to brag, but we did win the game as well, which made him even more pissed off.
Yeah. So it was good fun. It was good fun. That, you know, you sound a bit of a... you always have to watch. You sound like a dad when you talk about bygone eras and stuff like that. I know young physios these days, quite rightly, will roll their eyes at like old ones like me. But you do look back at it a little bit misty-eyed about things like that. I've had a great footballing life. I've had a good sporting life. I don't feel lucky because I've worked hard for it. I feel fortunate and privileged to have worked in that environment. I still now feel very privileged to be... I put a post on LinkedIn a few years ago, and I think one of the lines I used was, it's amazing being privy to things that the general public don't see. And what I mean by that is, you know, we'll go to a gymnastics event or cycling and you need the right number on your accreditation pass to get into certain places. And I feel privileged to have been in football dressing rooms. I mean, public just don't get access to these things. So that, I look back on that fondly. I don't feel lucky, but I feel very privileged. I also feel very privileged to work in a profession and with people who I really respect and look up at. Like, those names are just trotted off there. I mean, it's brilliant working in an industry where you have some real big hitters. You get that now. You have lots of good people now, but they were real pioneers then. Real pioneers then. And I just kind of try to cling onto their coattails and just learn from them. You know, so I still do. I still get nervous when I speak to these people. You know, you never lose it.
Yeah, no, great. No, well, thank you so much for sharing the stories. We've got some crackers there. So no, I really enjoyed it.
What I would say to young physios now is, I mean, sports, like, I get students that ask me all the time, how'd you get involved? And I always say to them, it's like the mafia. It's impossible to break into that circle. It's into sport. It's so closed door. It's so difficult. Once you're in, you can't get out. You're there for life. But the way I say to any sort of junior physios watching this, the one bit of advice I would say to them is, put your CV out there. Go on to things like LinkedIn. Be proactive. Knock on people's doors. Physios don't mind people knocking on their doors. I mean, I tried to get involved in cycling for ages. Couldn't get ahead in. And I saw a post on LinkedIn from somebody at British Cycling. So I thought, message them saying, any jobs going? And this is only last year. It's not as if this was when I was a junior. And whoever it was said, look, I'm not the one to speak to, but here's Katie, who's the head physio at Cycling's email address. Email Katie with a similar thing. Any work going on, quite keen on getting involved. She emailed back, said, actually, we do need somebody. How do you find a Zoom call? It's just, for every one of them, I've had two or three people not get back to me. Even now, people don't get back to you. So I think you have to be proactive when you're a junior physio, just knocking people's doors, but go in with the attitude of any work going, I'm happy to do anything at the moment. Don't think you're going to cure the world. Don't think you're better than what you are. Just go in and just say you're happy to work and you're happy to do anything you want them to do and build you up from there. That's how you get into football or sports.
I think that's, again, it's good life advice as well.
Exactly. So,
brilliant. Yeah, good. What's on the agenda today for you then?
So today I'm doing this clinic at Stirling. So, and I'll be here till about, I think, 2, and then back at my clinic tonight. So I finish at 9. So yeah, so pretty much 10 till 9, as you do. Like I say, it's the joys of being self-employed.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you didn't count this as work, because yeah, that would have made
Exactly. That's good fun. And the programmes you do are very good. They're good, actually. It's good hearing everyone else speaking, and everyone has a story to tell, don't they?
Yeah, I'm going to try and get some of the offline chats out there as well, because Mark's told me a few of those when we've been driving.
Well, I can imagine.
Some of those stories, and Day Fever, actually, yeah. So yeah,
oh, gosh, still good. I can imagine. Oh, yeah. There's a few off-the-record stories, quite a lot of off-the-record stories, actually.
Yeah, maybe we'll get together and do those in person.
That'd be brilliant. Oh, goodness, yeah, not half. To be fair, I could sit and listen to them. I'm just sitting and listen to these guys talking, which is brilliant. No, it's all good fun. You get some good stuff. The key thing is enjoying it.
Brian, yeah, definitely. Appreciate that. Thanks for your time, Alan. And, yeah, man, I'll see you soon.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye.